This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
I got 172. Well, I got it right here.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 173. What do you want? Me? No? That's not going to
The mumbling Frenchman? I don't know.
I was trying to do the guy from Get Her Done, Pitter Patter. Not Get Her Done, Pitter Patter. Letterkenny.
Oh, see.
Yeah, you don't watch it.
Right over the top.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 173 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
John, did you watch some stuff?
Yeah, I watched some stuff.
I didn't watch a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. I've got a lot of new stuff. I was surprised. It's popping up.
I don't have tons of new stuff. Okay. I got a couple things.
I didn't watch any movies. And I've only got... No, I've only got one trailer. Because I wrote down one that I wanted to watch, but I didn't watch it. So
I meant to watch... Oh, son of a bitch. The new Teen Titans trailer for DC.
Oh, I did watch
and
that
And I did not, and I forgot to.
Okay. I did watch that one. It was good.
Okay.
I haven't seen the first season, but this one shows your first scene of Deathstroke. It also has Sir Jorah as Bruce Wayne. That was kind of cool.
Okay, yeah.
We get to see, oh my God, what's her name there? I want to say Diana, but basically the Teen Titans version of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I know you're talking about
Crypto.
Yep.
You know, at one point he like picks up the dog tag, he goes, Crypto, and the dog's like, bark. And Aqualad.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
It'll be interesting.
No, I saw a headline that said, check out Sean William Scott in the Blumhouse horror movie Bloodline. And I'm like, I'll check that out, but I never did. So I'll check it out eventually.
So the wife and I have one more episode of Queer Eye left to watch on Netflix there. Again, we still really enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me laugh. I enjoy it. I don't feel worried about watching it in front of the kids or anything, you know.
So. Oh, that's good. So it's wholesome kind of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is actually.
Thanks.
So I actually really, really get a kick out of it. We've been watching, we're not keeping up to date, but we've been watching some America's Got Talent again recently. We finished like Audition 6 and started the first Judges Cut episode. Some of those things are just hilarious.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't. But at the end of the day, Terry Crews is the man.
He's fucking awesome.
You know, he is hilarious.
Love
him. He's wholesome. He's just such a super nice guy. It seemed like to everybody. That's awesome. Like, I just enjoy him thoroughly.
Nice. I enjoy him thoroughly as well.
You know?
Like I said, I love him on Brooklyn Nine-Nine because he always refers to himself in the third person. And his name on that is Terry. So.
Fits then.
Be like, Terry loves his yogurt.
Did you friggin' see that, like, The Rock and Jason Statham allegedly have in their contracts they're not allowed to lose a fight? Hi, it's fake. It's a movie. You have to lose a fight to build drama. If you don't show weakness or you don't show that you're in peril, how can you battle back and be the underdog battling back from underneath to overcome the villain? That's stupid.
Yeah, where would your second act be?
Right. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Maybe they can lose a car chase.
Maybe.
Or they can get arrested and caught, but they can't lose a fight.
Right, right.
If this fisticuff's going, they get to win. Terry Crews had some negative comical comments to say about that. I can't remember specifically, but I just remember reading on, yep.
I saw a headline that said, is it true that The Rock could be joining Deadpool 3? I didn't read any further.
Okay.
I also saw several headlines that said that the director of Deadpool 2 said, well, Deadpool 3 doesn't necessarily have to be an R-rated movie.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. So he needs to just shut up about that.
Yeah, he really does. Because, you know, that's how you get cut.
Yeah. Like with a knife.
Right, right.
I got to say, of the four shows that I watched this week,
yeah,
three of them were finales.
Which four shows did you watch?
Well, first off, are you caught up on The Detour?
No. However, I did watch the game show episode.
Okay.
I hadn't watched the other one, The Entertainer, yet. But I did watch the game show.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, in the beginning,
oh my God,
it was just kind of funny. Like, because it's an over-the-top Japanese
it
game
is
show.
Over-the-top.
And the prize on the game show is that you get airtime.
Yes, so like, you get commercial time.
Yes. So, like, if you win 20 seconds, then you've got 20 seconds of commercial time to plug a product or something. So they've decided they're going to do this to tell people Delilah's missing.
Yes.
And, like, right out of the gate, Nate fucks it up.
Yes.
And puts them into the deficit.
-7 seconds.
Yeah. He screws it up. They're like, you owe it. So they have to do all these weird tasks. And so it's just a typical Japanese game.
Oh, yeah. They take a pie and smash it in Nate's face. Oh, it's full of leeches.
Yeah. He has to sit in a chair while Robin drops things on his head.
That she wants.
Yes.
And she picks a cast iron frying pan.
Well, all of our stuff is stainless steel. And
it's so much better.
Yeah.
A bowling ball. Because, you know, you love bowling.
Yeah. And he's like, why did you grab these things? I thought they were prizes we got to win.
And a microwave. Because, you know, the button sticks. Just fine.
So she's about 6 feet above him and just reaching out of a wall and dropping. And, like, she's warning him, you know, she'll be like, baby, brace yourself. This one's going to hurt. I'm not going to lie. It's going to hurt. And didn't the microwave, like, have money in it?
Yes. Because she's like, all right, you can either take the prizes or take the cash value of them. Oh, we'll take the money. You can have them both. And so she drops it and it explodes. It's full of change. Not cash, coins.
Coins. Oh, my God. So they keep going through all of these really crazy stunts, and you're like,
Jareb's got to milk a cow, and it makes it look like he's jerking the guy off.
And then he's like, yeah, because it's a guy wearing a cow outfit.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I really like this. I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
But then the final one, the final task is that they want Nate to sing karaoke.
Yeah.
While they put Robin in the mystery box. That's like a magician's
hand job from a hucky mom.
Yeah. So Robin's going to stick her hand out there and give him a hand job while he's in this skin tight suit. And as they say, like, as soon as this whole thing starts, because Nate's like, no. And they're like, come on, you need the time. And so she reaches out and starts like stroking him. And they're like, we told her to not let you finish. That's her goal.
Yeah.
And your goal is to finish the song.
No,
and
her goal is to finish him before he finishes the song.
Yes.
His goal is to finish the song before he gets finished off.
Yes.
And he starts trying to sing.
And
he fails.
That actor, he did a good job of portraying the awkwardness of a...
Yeah, he did.
You know, and he'd be like, oh, don't use your fingertips. No. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, not that. No. Oh. And...
While he's singing the song. I don't remember the song. It was like, Rocky Mountain High. Oh, God, don't do that.
Yeah, it was Denver.
Like, he kept singing, like, in between.
Yeah.
Like,
and then just as he's finishing...
He finishes, yeah.
And they pull up the curtain where Jareb was.
He's in a soundproof box, so he can't hear you. Don't worry about it.
That's right. He can't hear anything. And he's got his feet dipped in a pond that has little fish that eat the microbes off your feet or something.
I always wanted to do.
Yeah. And they lift the curtain up, and there's Jareb and Robin.
Yeah.
Because they show that they did the old switcheroo, and it was actually the male clown from the show who wanked him off.
Yep. And then he got his 30 seconds for his advertising time, and
both Robin and Jareb were like, talk, Nate, talk. But of course, they're the soundproof booth.
Yeah.
But his brain was blown.
What I liked was the way they did the episode was when the game show cuts a commercial break, that's when the show cuts a commercial break.
Yes.
At least for the version I was watching.
Yep.
It was hilarious. He swore a lot, and they kept bleeping it out, and they put something on his mouth when he swore. I can't remember what it was, not a light bulb or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
Yep.
Are you caught up on the in-between?
Yes. Yes, I didn't mark that down here, but I am.
Okay.
Such a good show.
really is.
I like that when you were talking about it last week, when she was just like, what was it, like, spiders, you know, might be your thing, might be mine. He's like, all right, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. But you saw how they handled the girlfriend in a coma.
Yep. And I also saw Castle's daughter there. And
yes,
that was an interesting take because, you know, the stalker was basically like, yeah, I'm going to keep stalking her forever. And I'm going to force her to kill herself so she can be with me because I'm supposed to be with her. And then she got help from that other guy. And
yes.
Yeah, he says that it's easier to do this if we're near where you really died.
Yeah.
Do what?
Do what? Hey, buddy. Hey, what are you doing here? Sorry, man. Runs at him, spears him off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah. And
But that was a great episode, though.
Yeah. And the detective's girlfriend is gone now.
Like, yeah,
she
takes care of that.
Died.
Yep.
Very interesting. I mean, we never really got to know her. Cassie got that one little view of her, you know, finding the ring. And she's like, oh, she found the ring. And,
well, she had seen her in flashes a couple of times. And
she was worried.
Weird. She's not dead. Yeah. Why should I see her? And then, yeah, you're right. She saw how she found the ring. So she, because he's like, she never even knew I was going to propose. And she's like, yes, she did.
Yep. So she was very happy.
I gave him his closure.
Yep.
What did you think of the most recent episode? Well, there's been two episodes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Since that one episode.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I think that was my favorite episode so far. Was
that
the
one
Stalker
there.
One. Just Stalker. Because it added so much. Like, all the characters felt like they were finally falling into place with each other. And I don't know. I liked them. I love the show. I wish it wasn't going to get canceled, but you know it will because it's Supernatural.
Why do you think it's going to get canceled? Just because it's on NBC?
Yeah, and it's Supernatural. And it's not Grimm.
Right.
You know, they'll come back next season and they'll have 15 new characters and...
probably.
New legend. You know, they'll be looking for a key somewhere. What'd you think?
I thought this most recent episode was a good episode as well.
Yeah.
They didn't really talk about the detective's dead girlfriend, really, which I thought they'd kind of focus on that a little bit, but they didn't.
You know, he mentioned, like, right in the beginning when they were talking, maybe it was this episode or the other one, but he basically said to Paul Blackthorne, you know, he's like, hey, it was nice seeing you guys at the funeral. I appreciate it.
Yes, that's how they, yes, right
so,
at the very beginning.
So you know
beginning.
The time has passed.
Yes, and he's like, oh, of course, we'd be there. Speaking of, you know, that's time has passed. It's like we were talking about last week when you have weekly episodic shows like this and they just represent passage of time episode to episode as opposed to when you binge watch something in it.
Yep.
You know, because you finished Another Life, like I said, and I was talking to someone about this at work and I mentioned the same thing. It's like, well, John and I were talking and we said that, you know, this is not really a binge show. This is more of a show that you would kind of like watch, you know, weekly.
Yep.
Because the way it's not made to be purged.
Right.
So I was excited about this episode because it had Nicholas Lee in it. And I'm just a big fan of him. He was Krychek. He was Krychek on the X-Files.
Yeah.
So this episode, he was an aging rocker who died. And then
he was kind of introduced in a cool way. You know, he was like he like saw her and didn't know if she saw him. So he like walked away and then he was like sitting up there. And he's like, hey, oh, my God, you can see me. And he had a special place for her because, you know, her and her mom would sing his songs and they loved him.
Her mom saw them like right before he hit it big and has an autographed cassette tape.
Yep.
And
cassette.
I know. Right. And she and again, it's a song that Cassie and her mom used to sing all the time. And we really get to see kind of more about Cassie's mom and that history there. So I feel like we're going to see Cassie's mom pop up in an episode soon.
Yep.
Of course, you know, that the singer lied to her and covered up the fact he had a son. And
it really reminded me of the overdose victim one.
Yes.
You know, except for the overdose victim lied to her like 7 times. And this one was just the overarching, like, no, I never even knew. And then he's like, yeah, I was stoned and I didn't want to have anything to do with the kid.
And but then Cassie rips into him being like, you know, I was raised by a guy who wasn't my, you know, wasn't my father by birth or my parent by birth, but loved me more than, you know, my own father did and da, 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 da. So just because, you know, he's not, you know, that's not his dad by blood doesn't mean he's not his dad. That he didn't raise him.
Right. And you can see that the kid grew up in a good environment. Yeah. He got accepted to Yale. I mean,
yeah. Because he's like, I want you to talk to him and tell him. And she wouldn't. She wouldn't deliver the message for him. But she was able to make him go away satisfied because he said, because, you know, she said, you brought my mother happiness when she died.
Right. Yep.
And that was key there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy the show.
I do too.
I think it's really good.
And I'm going to be sad to see it go. Because it will.
It's just how it works. The Boys. I finished The Boys.
Okay.
I like the comic book better.
Okay.
So, and unless my memory is incorrect, and I meant to look this up before this episode, but I forgot, but I was discussing this with someone last week at Rustling, and they seemed to concur what I was thinking, which is, you know how the season ends with the Butcher tries to blow up Homelander, but Homelander doesn't work, and Homelander takes the Butcher and him to... And we find out that the Butcher's wife is alive and that she had Homelander's son and they kept it in secret. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the comics, that didn't happen.
I read something the other day that talked about how the comics were very different.
Yeah, and the comics, again, the comics obviously, I realize, have more time to expand on backstories and side stories and gets more into the whole Supes universe of things.
Yep.
Like, I did notice by the end, they touched based on the fact that, like, A-Train, when they was interviewed about the death of his girlfriend, weren't you guys on this other team together? And he's like, yeah, we were. But that's the most they go into. Whereas in the comics, you see a lot of these other teams.
Oh, okay.
And the Boys don't just deal with the Seven. Yes, that is the end game for them, is dealing with the Seven. But they deal with all Supes that fuck off. And as a matter of fact, oh, sorry, I just ruined the rating.
Oh, no, I said fuck several times.
Okay. Later. As a matter of fact, they deal more with these other unit, these other Supes that are criminals, and they actually deal with Supes that are bad guys and have more issues going on for them than what we see. So they establish more of a backstory of the Boys' characters dealing with these other Supes as well.
Which, again, I think comes down to budget and hiring actors. And
now, Lamplight, in the series, they talk about how Lamplight killed Mallory's kids. Well, that's true. In the comics, Lamplight did, and then they gave Lamplight to the Boys, and the Boys murdered him, and Lamplight's on the had the gerbil stuff up his ass.
Right.
Living up there.
Yeah.
So, but then they brought Lamplight back from the dead, and he was like a zombie in the basement, and we deal with him later, and they end up killing him again. But there's a lot more that goes on in the books. And again, Homelander comes off a lot more of a piece of shit in the comic books than he does in the in the TV show.
Like how I was saying that, I don't know, by the end of it, I wasn't like, Homelander's a good guy.
He's but got like, some bad tendencies. Like when they try to rescue the plane and it goes awry, and he's like, we can't save these people. What about we just save this one person? No, we can't. We can't save this one person.
Because then she's
because then they'll tell everyone that what we did, we couldn't save everybody. We got to get out of here.
And I like that she also, Queen Maeve, like, gave him some options. She's like, can't you just fly the plane? And he's like, I'm not a pilot. And she's like, can't you just, like lift it? And he goes, there's no ground to get
it. How can I lift? That was interesting.
And he's like, and if I just, like, come at it and fly at it, I'm going to flip it ass over tea kettle. You know, I'm going to hit it and it's going to ricochet and fly all over the place. He's like, no, we need to get out of here.
In the comics, Queen Maeve is much more of a silent, stoic bitch. Like, for 50, 60 issues.
Mm-hmm.
Where she, because in the show, they show her as kind of being an emotional person. And she gets there. But again, not to like 100 issues in or something. Like, for other than that, she just basically fucks everything and is a miserable bitch, basically, the whole time. So again, that was weird seeing her character that way. And here's something that's going to maybe sound weird. The comic book is much more gratuitous.
I bet it is.
Sex and violence. And I thought I was going to see that with this show.
There's not much,
and there isn't. And it's kind of disappointing.
I was disappointed as well.
Yeah.
Not that I need to have that. I don't need to have dicks waving in my face and vaginas exposed.
Right, right. But
it was very tame for what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I will say this. I actually made a link to it. There was an article. There was one scene that they filmed, and they actually had it, and Eric Kripke was talking about it, and Amazon not only said, no, we can't have that in the show, but they went, are you fucking kidding? No fucking way will we have that.
What was it?
It's in the second episode, right after Elizabeth Shue's character dresses down Homelander and, you know, basically tells him you're a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. He goes up to the top of a building, like the Empire State Building kind of thing, drops trowel and starts jerking off and says, I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm Homelander. And then just spews all over the side of the building. Amazon was like, no fucking way.
That's not in the comics.
I think it would have made him more of a piece of shit, and it would have fit more into the world that they were doing. But yeah, overall, it felt like a tame show.
It wasn't as gratuitous as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And again, I say that was kind of disappointing because of only how graphic the book was, you know? That and the story of Huey and Annie January, Starlight.
I always want to call her Starfire, but that's Teen Titans.
They, they meet on the park bench, like they show. They become friends. They start having a relationship. They get together. But he doesn't know she's Starlight for a long time.
Felt like they really condensed that.
They condensed their whole story. They condensed their story to the point where when they finally, like, when she decides to, like, go against the Seven to save them, you don't understand why. Because in the comics, they establish a long relationship first, and then it makes sense why she does.
Yeah.
You know? So they changed it up quite a bit. I'm not going to say I disliked the series or I was disappointed with it, but
like most things, the book was better.
I was going to say, it's another scenario where the book's better. In this case, the comic books are better.
Now,
I have another thing. Go ahead.
The sex definitely was not as gratuitous, but some of the violence was pretty good. The explosion of what's his name there?
The visible guy.
His explosion and the viscera and everything. Thank you. Translucent. It doesn't even mean invisible.
Yeah.
Or when the female gets attacked by Black Noir.
Oh.
And gets gutted.
Yeah.
You know, and just left out there with her intestines hanging out. A-Train's broken leg.
That was gratuitous.
Really, that made me cringe. Anytime I see bones sticking out through, especially in the leg, I mean, they fucking whacked him. Yeah, I would have been really stupid to come here alone, and she comes down like ring style and just crowbar right to the fucking leg.
When Deep is in Indiana.
Oh my God,
and that girl fingers his gills. That was weird.
That was really weird.
Now, why would you stick your hands in someone's gills? Like, I don't get that.
I don't either.
But it made him feel like he made Annie January feel.
Right.
So it's kind of like...
So he may have had some growth there, but...
Right. I don't know. But we don't know because we don't see anything more of his character.
Right.
The other thing, too... And I know people say, well, it's a comic book. Not all comic movies are just like the comic books. I mean, okay, yes, that's true. However, when you're making a Captain America movie, for instance, you have 60, 70 years of comics to run by, or Batman or Superman, or any of these comic book characters have been around for 50, 60, 70 years. That's a lot of source material. So you won't expect they're going to cover the whole thing. The Boys is a finite amount of material. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And, like, hold on. Okay, it's 72 issues.
Okay.
Okay, so maybe my thing of, for her it was like 60 issues in before she's a bitch. Maybe it was, but so it's only 72 issues.
Yep.
That's a finite amount of material to take from. So there's really no reason for it to differ that much, especially if you're planning on doing multiple seasons.
Right.
But yeah, they differed it. They took a lot of context and moved a lot of things around. And I'm sure they did the same thing. Marvel, DC, whatever, they make movies. But again, you're dealing with 72 issues of source, 6 years, as opposed to 60 years and hundreds of issues. So.
Yeah. Now, as somebody who didn't read the books, I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
I did not love it. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the greatest. I wasn't singing its praises at the top of my lungs. I'm interested in the second season. I'll definitely check it out. They say they're going to expand on it more. I could definitely see the influences that Evan and Seth had on this, because it plays very much like the first season of Preacher, except that the first season of Preacher was on AMC, so they couldn't do like swearing and stuff.
Right.
So, but it feels very similar to that, you know, very laser focused around certain characters. I mean, Homelander, Butcher, and Huey were the main characters here.
Yes.
You know, everybody else definitely took a B or C role. But
they're the afterthoughts.
Yep. So, is Elizabeth Shue's character dead? She must be dead. Like, he burned her, like, right straight through the eyes and the head and everything.
Oh, she's gone. She's dead. Yeah, she's dead.
Yeah, it just... I don't know. Everything that I've been reading, they haven't really talked about that part, so...
Yeah, I know. Like, he melted her eyes into her brain and melted her brain. She's, yeah. There's really no coming back from that.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. But it's a comic book, so, I mean, she could have had some kind of superpowers in herself that...
Fair enough.
Generative abilities.
Fair enough.
Which, the female seems to have that.
Yep.
She's an interesting character. She's got a Wolverine vibe going.
Yeah, that's another thing. Again, like, her in the comic books, like, they did a pretty good job establishing her as far as when Frenchie let her out, opened the cage, and she jumps out and killed all those guys, and that guy shot himself in the head as opposed to let the female get at him. That does establish she's a pretty badass bitch. But in the
that
comics...
That was a pretty cool thing.
In the comics, I almost feel like she was already there with the group when Huey came along, and then we saw kind of like her backstory of how they found her, not the way they introduced her here.
Oh, I gotcha. So, you'll check out the second season, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah. I'll watch the second season, no doubt.
Well, now that you know that they're going off source material, because the whole reveal of Homelander having a kid...
Yeah, that's definitely going in a direction I didn't expect.
And that was a big deal, not because, oh, we had a kid, but because all of the Supes are supposed to be sterile. They're not supposed to be able to have children.
They're not supposed to have kids at all.
You know, we've determined that Vought has this chemical program where they basically pay people to inject their babies, and they develop superpowers somehow. And, you know, Starlight confronts her mom about it, and her mom's like, yeah, well, you know, it was supposed to be a good life for you. You were supposed to have a great life growing up. It wasn't so much about the money, but there was money.
Yeah.
They're all supposed to be sterile. So it was really freaky that he got someone pregnant. And in the comics, if I'm not mistaken, it was rape. He raped Butcher's girlfriend. In this one, it was more of a consensual affair.
Oh, no. He raped her.
Yeah.
There was no consensual. In the comics he raped her.
Yeah.
In the TV show, she was raped.
She came out of that room looking kind of like... Mm.
Oh, no. I took that as she came out of the room, clothes were undone, she didn't seem happy, and she immediately ran away.
It's quite possible. That was my original assumption. Okay.
I definitely took that as rape.
But that was my original assumption. Something that I read said, no, this was a consensual relationship.
Oh,
so,
no. I didn't take that at all.
Well, I'm going to be interested to see what they say in the second season if they try to spin it that way.
She was one and done with him then. You know what I mean?
Right. But that's the thing is, if she had been raped and had a child or, you know, got pregnant, why would she have just disappeared without talking to Billy about it? And maybe it's because Vought basically said, we're putting you in their version of witness protection and you will not talk to him, you will never reach out.
I mean, yeah, that quite possibly could have been it.
Yep. But now we've got a superpowered child who was born of a normal person and a soup.
Right.
So.
But this is the first... This would be the first soup that was born a soup.
Right.
Because all the others were created.
So that's going to be interesting. So I have a feeling that the second season is going to deviate very hard from the comics.
Yeah, based on that, it most likely will.
Yeah.
What shows did you watch that had finales?
Euphoria.
Mm.
That's fucking weird.
So you're going to come back for a second season on that one?
I honestly don't know. I'm leaning towards no, but... I don't know. The finale, they did one interesting thing. Mm-hmm. So last week, episode 7, they left it on some big cliffhangers. One of the girls is pregnant, goes to her mom, says, I need your help. Basically, she deals with it the whole episode. You know she's probably saying, I need an abortion. But and then, you know, they've got a lot of these little cliffhangers of like, ooh, what's going to happen? So suddenly we come into this episode, and we pick right up with Rue, where she was in the hospital for a kidney infection. You know, you're like, okay. But then suddenly everybody's going to the winter formal, and it's like nothing else was resolved. And I honestly felt like, did I miss something? Like, why is this happening? Why does Nate suddenly have another girlfriend? What happened to Maddie? And then as you're watching the episode, like, you'll see somebody look at somebody else, and then all of a sudden we'll get a flashback to show you what happened in that missing time. It was actually done really well, and I really appreciated that. Other than that, though, it was very bizarre.
Mm.
I didn't like the end of it. I didn't really like everything that happened in it. I didn't feel there was any resolution, although there was, you know, Maddie and Nate have that horribly abusive relationship where he beats her and stuff. And two girls are sitting there watching them, like, he's dancing with this other girl and grabbing her ass, and she's dancing with this guy acting all seductive. And one of the girls just goes, you know, I think those two are going to get married, and they're going to get divorced like 3 times. And somehow they're going to have a pretty fucking good life, unlike the rest of us. Somebody else is like, yeah, it's really scary. And that's, you know, that's kind of typical for people like that. So, yeah, but I'm not gonna. iZombie had its finale. Series finale.
Satisfying?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
They gave us finality, and they did a, after the last commercial break, they came back to 10 years later.
Oh, I hate that.
But ultimately, it was very rushed. Like, every other season has been so good, and I love this show so much, that they really, really rushed these last couple of episodes. Like, they jammed it all in. They knew that they were coming up on a deadline. Rob Thomas is working on Veronica Mars, so it wasn't as good as it could have been.
That's,
I mean, they had one storyline around Peyton that started and resolved within, like, 15 minutes. It was ridiculous. But overall, I still highly recommend the entire show. It was phenomenal, based on a comic book, you know. I really think that people would like it. So check it out. And the other one, believe it or not, I stuck through to the end of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
So I can give you some solid answers.
Okay.
There was an alien chick who... Crap, what's her name? Like Innes or something like that. She comes from another dimension. The Shrike are her babies. They're basically her army that... will bring bodies to her so that she can bring her family over from this other dimension. They're trapped in that other dimension by the three monoliths that we've gotten to know, which are time, space, and creation.
Okay.
When those monoliths were destroyed by S.H.I.E.L.D. last season, they scattered to the ether, kind of like the Infinity Stones did in the cinematic universe. They scattered to the ether, and they took pieces of Coulson with them. That's where Sarge came from. Was they ended up in this other dimension with one of this woman's top lieutenants or king or something like that, and merged with him. So it was part that guy, part Coulson. That's where Sarge came from. It's very weird, but it's a comic book kind of explanation for things.
Mm. It's actually not bad.
No, it's not. So this is where it gets cool, though, and this is where I'm actually looking forward to the next season, all right?
Okay.
So you ready for this? So during this season, one of the subplots that I thought they kind of abandoned but they came back to was that those Shrike went and destroyed the Chronicom homeworld. Now, the Chronicom was that robot that was with Fitz in the last season.
Yes.
You know, the bald guy. They are passive. They just chronicle history. They can, you know, exist for years and years at a time. And they took Simmons and Fitz this year and wanted to learn how to time travel so that they could go back and stop their planet from being destroyed. And then it kind of, like, disappeared. Like, we didn't hear from them for a while. And then in the second to the last episode, one of them showed up to a bar and was talking to Enoch, you know, Fitz's friend, and said, you know, we put out word and we've tried to get the remaining Chronicoms that are around the galaxy and none of them want to help. And so he starts scrolling through and he sees the pictures of the Chronicoms, but they all say Hunter, Hunter. And he's like, oh, and that's the other thing. They're no longer anthropologists. They're now hunters. And so all of them have decided, you know what? Fuck time travel and trying to go back and get our planet back before the Shrike destroyed it.
Yeah.
Let's just have a new planet that's our home. Let's take Earth. So these semi-immortal beings with infinite knowledge, because they all pass that knowledge on, have decided that they want to take over Earth, and they're going to. And so they start taking out S.H.I.E.L.D. immediately in the last episode. And the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that we have get away, barely. May is dead.
Really?
Yeah. Sarge had a sword with him the whole time. And he said that it was the only thing that could kill Inez. It was the only thing that could kill her. And she even looked at it and she's like, how did you still have that? That shouldn't have come through the dimension with you. And he's like, well, I'm full of surprises. And he stabbed May with it and kicked her through the portal to the other dimension. well, in the other dimension, death is meaningless. So she got up and she started fighting them. They had a really cool scene where she pulled the sword out and she affected this battle pose that was a shot-for-shot remake of the battle pose from Mulan, where she did the voice of Mulan. So it was really kind of cool. But she kicked ass because she's May, came back through, helped kill Inez, and then helped kill Sarge, who was showing his true colors as one of those creatures. But once she was back in our world, she died because her wounds were too grave. And so the remaining agents, which was Daisy and Mac and Deke, got rescued by Gemma, who was talking very monotone. She was very cool, calm, and collected, and had done some upgrades to the ship that she was on. They had the jump drive perfected, which lets them, you know, warp in and out, kind of like a Discovery's jump drive.
Yeah.
She said that they've made some upgrades and they've got some things going on, and they're going to try to fight back against the Chronicoms, but they need some help. And where they're going, they're going to need a guide, somebody who's an expert on S.H.I.E.L.D. history. So they have activated an LMD of Coulson.
Okay.
So Clark Gregg will still be back as Coulson, but as Coulson as an LMD.
Where's Fitz?
They have to go find him.
Still?
No. She knows. She said, I can't know where he is. That's part of the thing that's keeping us all alive. Because the Chronicoms are trying to systematically kill them. Like, when they show up, when she shows up and rescues them from the temple that they're in, and the ship takes off, like, as it's taking off, it gets nuked from orbit. Like, the temple gets nuked. Because the Chronicoms know history, and they know the future, and they know what's going to happen. So, she says that Fitz is safe, but she can't know where he is, or else it's going to put everybody in. But no, we hear his voice. So, long story short, they pan across and they show where they're now going to be setting up base of operations, and it's New York, 1931.
Really?
Yeah.
So pre-Peggy Carter, even.
But there's rumors that we could be getting some Peggy Carter in this after all. Because Gemma kept saying, they were like, how did you do all this stuff? How did you get all this stuff upgraded before, you know? And she's like, we had time. We had time. Alluding to the fact that they've mastered time travel.
Yeah.
So we could be seeing Peggy Carter.
See, now I'm interested in the next season.
Because it's 1931 New York. Yep. So they were like, that looks like the Empire State Building. And they're like, why can't we see any other skyscrapers? And she goes, because it's probably the tallest building in the world right now. And then the fog clears and you just see, like, it's still under construction. And I immediately thought of Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Yes.
But, yeah, so now we've got Coulson back as an LMD.
Okay.
But and he has all of Coulson's memories up to the point that he died, which is going to be weird because now May's dead.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. May's not fully dead because Gemma shot her with something and said she'll be fine, but she needs to rest. She'll be out of commission for a while. So it's she's going to be iced for a while. I forgot about that part. Sorry. That was the last, like, few seconds. But so, yeah. So now it's going to be an interesting trip to see what they do here. So we've got an LMD. We've got May, who doesn't know that he's going to be an LMD. I don't know if this is like, well, Ming-Na might. And they've already shot the whole season because I saw things posting up on Instagram from the different actors and actresses saying that this was their final day ever of shooting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and blah, blah, blah. So it's already shot.
I wonder if how it's going to affect the timeline of the cinematic universe.
Probably not at all. Yeah, probably. There is a rumor swirling around right now that ABC is already talking with Disney. Well, it's owned by Disney, but it's already talking with Disney and Marvel to create a new show in place of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that would be a solely female superhero-based show.
We shall see.
Yep.
What else?
Those were the shows that I watched this week.
I watched a documentary.
Okay.
It's called, I'm going to pronounce it, Elstree, 1976.
Okay.
It came out in 2015. I watched it on Netflix. It's about the original Star Wars film and the legacy left behind. That's the tag. So essentially what they do is they talk to all the extras.
Okay.
Like, extras that had lines, extras that didn't have lines. It's really good. It's really fascinating.
Is
it? Yes.
Nice.
It's definitely worth watching. Like, they talk to people, like, well, David Prowse is in it as well, and there's others, but, like, they talk to a lot of people, like, I thought this was going to be a low-budget film.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that this was going to be such a big film. Some of these actors have action figures because, like, they're like Red Leader 1, you know, who gets destroyed, or right. Red Leader 2 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they're – and they – but they also showed, like, all the all those scenes, like, where they're sitting in the – I'm going to say, what the fuck were they sitting in? X-Wings?
Yeah.
And they're like, I just brain cramped. But they had one X-Wing cockpit. And they had a camera set up in front of it, and they'd have the actors come in and just read all their lines, one after another.
Nice.
And they showed like how they showed the footage of them filming that.
Yeah. So they didn't. I mean, budgetary wise, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Because it was the same shot.
Like, you should 100% watch this.
Where is it?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's literally called ELS Tree 1976. I don't know why it's called that. I think it has to do with like the studio or the street or some shit. Yeah, it's really fascinating.
About how long was it?
That's the only, it's 90 minutes, so it's not that long, and I wanted it to be longer, truth be told.
Okay.
But it was really good. It was fascinating. I mean, you love Star Wars. This is definitely a Star Wars look that you haven't seen because they don't talk to any of the major celebrities about it.
Okay.
And there's some actual old footage, then there's some, like, actor recreations with actors playing these people, and then all the interviews with everybody. It's really good. It's really good. I think, I don't know, it's 85 on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Nice. Elstree 1976.
Apparently, this is a Kickstarter-funded documentary. You got any news?
Oh, yeah.
I got a little bit of news.
What you got?
I literally have, like, three things.
Okay.
Maybe four things. Number one, Muppets Live Another Day.
Oh?
You haven't heard this?
No.
Okay. So, Disney Plus in 2020, this new Muppet series, takes place immediately following the events of The Muppets Take Manhattan in 1984. So, it's set in 1984.
Love it.
Yeah. I think this will succeed where, like, Muppets Tonight didn't, and the Muppets didn't. So, but yeah, because it's set right after The Muppets Take Manhattan, 84.
Love it.
Yeah. GLOW Season 3 drops next week, next Friday, August 9th, or
yes.
This Friday, August 9th.
Yeah. By the time you read that, you listen to this, yeah. You'll be like, oh, that was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
3 days ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because today's Tuesday. Shit. Yep. All right, so it drops Friday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday the 6th today.
Yeah. And then they've announced the bundle package for Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus.
I'm not impressed.
Why?
I mean, some people are. Well, I responded to you. You didn't get my message? Don't worry about it. Basically, I said this. I wouldn't watch that, or I wouldn't get this. It seems okay, but I wouldn't get it because, for one thing, it's what? What's the price on it?
$12.99,
and you get Hulu?
Yes.
Disney Plus?
Yes.
And ESPN Plus?
Yes.
Okay. For me, it's a no-sell because it's not Hulu without ads. It's Hulu with
ads. That's what I was going to bring up. Because I'm like, that's a low price point because Hulu without ads is $11.99.
Yep.
But they lowered the price. So I don't know how much it is now. It might
still, $5.99.
Well, no, the Hulu with ads.
$5.99. I read another article on it.
Hulu without ads.
Oh, okay.
It was $11.99, and Hulu with ads was $7.99.
Yep.
So I don't know if they've lowered the price of the without ads one yet.
I don't know.
But, like, at this point, I've had my sister-in-law won 3 years free of adless Hulu. And that's what I've had. And it doesn't expire to the end of December. I'm not going back to ads.
Mm-hmm.
Not after, you know.
Which is funny because
money.
I remember before she won that,
yes.
You and I had the whole discussion. And yes. You were like, I'm not paying extra to get rid of ads. I'll sit through ads. I don't mind. And I was like, no, not for me. And holy crap, there's a huge difference.
Heck yeah. There is.
So basically, you've got Disney Plus, which normally by itself will be $6.99.
Right. Or if you buy it for the year, it's even cheaper than
$6.99.
Right. But that's basically like 2 months free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Hulu with ads, which I don't want anything to do with.
Right.
And ESPN Plus, which I have literally no use for. It would be the same as me getting country music television.
Fair enough.
Or a Yo MTV Raps channel.
Right.
You know, I have no. I don't do sports at all.
So. For someone like Paul or Rude, who's a sports person,
yes.
It'd be great for them.
Absolutely.
Now, for me, if I'm going to spend if it's only going to be like a dollar more to get that per month and get the ESPN Plus, I would do it because I'm going to get Hulu without ads still, and I'm going to get Disney Plus.
Yep.
So if those two adding up together, if I get the Hulu without ads package and they do package it for a higher price point with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, or it's about the same, I'll get it. Mm-hmm. But there's, I'll watch some stuff on ESPN. Like I'll watch the NFL games,
right,
or
right,
a few, maybe a few other things. But yeah, I don't really watch.
I'm hoping that they have other packages. You know, that they say, okay, well, that's one package, and here's another one. And
well, I also heard it was going to be available as just a solo add-on
right
to Disney, to Hulu. But again,
now, meanwhile, we've got HBO Max or HBO Plus, whatever.
At like $16 or $17 price point.
Which, I believe it, because it's fucking HBO.
HBO Now or HBO Go is $14.99.
Plus Warner Brothers, and yeah.
That's
and we just learned this week that HBO Plus is going to be the exclusive streaming home of Doctor Who.
Well, not of new episodes of the library.
It will have new episodes.
Yes, but the new episodes will still be on the BBC America. The current season will still be on the BBC America app if you're using that, like I am watching,
or watch it on the BBC channels. If
right,
you're
exactly. But you're right. For the library, it's coming off Amazon.
Yep, and it's going to be on HBO Max, which is crazy. Because first it was on Netflix, and we all watched it, and we all fell in love.
Absolutely.
And then it was on Amazon. It's like, oh, that's a bit more of a hurdle, because I got to pay for Prime to get it. But okay, you know, at least I can still watch it. Now I got to get this other HBO Max, which I'm still not sold on. I love Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But this is not a selling point for me to shell out an extra $18 a month.
No, it's not. And the HBO Max price point is getting, like, where if you have cable, you're not going to get that.
No. Nope. Hell no.
Because, like, the other benefits that come with it aren't that fantastic.
Right.
It's just such a high price point, especially with Disney coming out with the price point they are for Disney Plus. It really makes the others look ridiculous.
It really does. Yeah. I'm not a fan. Yeah.
What you got for news?
This one's kind of fun, and it's actually going to prompt me to go watch more Runaways. They're actually going to do a crossover between Runaways and Cloak and Dagger.
Damn.
I know. Yep. The CW's DC Universe, also blah, 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 blah. Today on Cloak & Dagger's official Twitter page, fans got a tease of a crossover episode to come. First, the cast of Marvel's Runaways greeted fans, reminding audiences of the upcoming season at the end of the year. After hinting at some major challenges to come their way, the crew teases us they'll need some help. Suddenly, the camera pans, and we see Tandy and Tyrone sitting right next to them. That's cool.
That is cool.
That's a great
that's
reveal.
Cool. Yeah, that
you
is.
Know, and I love Cloak & Dagger.
Maybe I'll just start watching Runaways this season and not go back and watch the previous one.
So it says Runaways will feature a crossover episode this upcoming season with Tandy and Tyrone. And then it just talks about, you know, focuses on a ragtag. But their new season starts in December, I believe. Yeah, December 13th. So
speaking of mutants.
Yeah.
And the new mutants got pushed back again?
It's never coming out. Mark my words, it's never coming out.
I got some DC news. Want to continue?
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
Kevin Conroy.
Oh, dude.
Batman.
And
Bruce Wayne in the CWDC crossover.
Yep, older Bruce Wayne, but dude. That
Kevin
voice,
Conroy.
Kevin Conroy.
25 years of my life, he's been the voice
Kevin
of Batman.
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
If they don't find a way to get Mark Hamill as the Joker in the crossover.
See, he's always been the trickster in Flash. Like, they use him as flashbacks,
yes.
So they could still use him.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've already got him. But think about it. Brandon Routh is the Atom, and he's going to be Superman. So.
Well, but what I mean is they've already got him on
right,
Flash,
right.
So it's not like they don't have relations.
So
that's what I meant by
this
that.
This has to happen.
Yeah.
If I could see the two of them on screen together, Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy.
But they legit are going all out with this.
I did
and
read something.
And they are bringing Black Lightning into the crossover.
And that's kind of weird. I wanted to read that because I...
like the actors or something. They're not going to have the show isn't going to be in a crossover episode.
Right, right, right. They said the official wording, unspecified characters from Black Lightning, which to date has never been fully part of the Arrowverse, will make their crossover event debut.
Yes.
This week they also, CW... said that they are looking for a new superhero show to fill the void now that Arrow's going to be gone.
Which surprises me, because that's what I thought Batwoman was
doing.
That's
what I thought, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they've already got something planned. They probably have something planned.
Right, they probably do.
But
it's kind of, if you think of Supergirl, female-driven. Batwoman, female-driven. Legends of Tomorrow, female captain.
Mm-hmm.
Flash. Not a bad thing. I'm just saying,
No, not at all.
But the five episodes of the crossover event, three in December, two in January, and they're going to be on like Supergirl, Batwoman, and Flash, and then Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow to finish it up.
Yep.
They need to release this crossover on home video.
Yeah.
On its own.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
They said that every episode of Arrow leading up to this crossover is going to be an event that basically leads up to it. Because you got to figure, Oliver's dead.
Yeah.
And well, Felicity's gone.
He's not dead now.
At the end of this last season, well, granted that was in the future, but yes. Right. So, but we know he's going to be dead.
Right, right.
But as soon as his daughter was born, the monitor came and took him and right. said, it's time now. So the time streams have caught up. At the end of this season, him and Felicity said, we're getting out of the city. We're going to go. So Oliver is gone
right.
as far as we're concerned.
Right.
Felicity, the actress, Emily Bett-Rickard, is not going to be on the show at all this season. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do. Just want to make sure.
I'm sorry. Kevin Conroy is Batman.
Dude, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I'm going to share with Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I was so excited. And Burt Ward, they still haven't said. I read one site that said that he was going to be some version of Robin, but I couldn't confirm it anywhere else, so I'm not saying that that's solid. But
I'm okay with Kevin Conroy as Batman and Burt Ward as Robin, by the way.
I am too. I am completely okay with that. Kevin Conroy. Holy crap, that voice. Anyway. Okay. Shifting off that.
Yeah. I mean, Burt Ward is 74, but still.
Yeah. There was a book that came out a little while ago called Console Wars, and it specifically dealt with the war between Nintendo and Sega.
I want to see it.
I guess it's a really good book, but CBS All Access is going to be turning it into a documentary and a TV series. Yeah.
CBS All Access.
Documentary?
Yeah.
And a TV series.
That's interesting.
I'm definitely going to check this out because that one that I told you about, the home game console one.
I still need to watch that, but yes, it's still
so much of that. Remember, I told you so much of it was about the Nintendo versus Sega.
Game
and they
changers.
Had the guy, yes.
Inside the video game wars.
And they had those two guys, the head of Nintendo and the head of Sega, who are still alive now, who sat there reading like, here's the letter that I wrote him, you know, good luck to you, ha ha ha. I want to see that translated into a weekly show.
Me too.
When
is the Toys That Made Us coming back, for crying out loud?
I don't know, and it's pissing me off.
I mean, the first season...
I mean, not like really pissing me off.
Right, but the first season, December 2017. Second season, May of 2018. Okay, that was only 6 months later. Now, here we are, August 2019. Still don't have the third season.
Yep.
No fucking word
in sight. They probably run out of, like, specific toys to do. They're like, well, what do we do, guys?
Power Rangers, Wrestling, My Little Pony, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, that's this new season. Now they've done, what, Hello Kitty, Lego, Transformers, Star Trek, G.I. Joe, He-Man, Barbie, Star Wars.
Yep.
There's still Mask. There's still tons of toy lines.
But they have to be ones that, like, genuinely changed the fabric of...
They could do board games.
Culture.
Yeah. Like Monopoly. Doctor Who, Jesus.
Operation?
Operation.
Dr. Buzzer.
Stephen
King is writing a new ending for The Stand for when it comes to CBS All Access. Apparently this...
Wait, that's a CBS All Access too?
Yeah.
That's
so
sick.
Apparently this thing's been rattling around in his head for the past 30 years, how he really wanted it to end, which is basically, I guess, like a 10 years later where we get to catch up and see where everybody's at. So he's writing that. They're all on board. They're going to shoot it. Depending on how you feel about those things, there you go. This I'm super excited about, and I know I shared this with you. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are getting a new series on Amazon called Truth Seekers.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
And it's going to be – the series follows Gus and Dave as they team up to uncover and film paranormal disturbances from across the United Kingdom. British! they will stake out haunted churches, underground bunkers, and abandoned hospitals using an array of homemade ghost-detecting gizmos and share their adventures on an online channel. As the show goes on and their experiences become increasingly terrifying, Gus and Dave will begin to unravel a conspiracy that poses an enormous threat to the entire human population.
Dude, sold.
When you said Nick Frost and Simon Pegg, I was sold.
Right. But
Amazon series, they, yeah, I'm all about this.
Sold.
Yep. How can I get more of this in my life? Oh, here, to get back to what we were talking about, the Boys showrunner teases several major characters from the comics appearing in season two. So you'll have to let me know about this because...
Well, most of the major characters from the comics already are on the show, so they must be talking about some characters.
During an interview with EW after the release of the first season, TV creator and showrunner Eric Kripke opened up about what's to come, teasing the introduction of some other popular characters. Of course, this includes Billy Butcher's beloved dog, Terror. We felt as the writers, the fans need him, Kripke said of Terror's arrival. We had to bite the bullet and have one fucking pain-in-the-ass episode to shoot with the dog, and then, at the end, the dog will return to the safe and comfortable place it's been. Basically, it's hard to film with a
dog. Yeah, his dog's a dick, like he is.
But it does come out of retirement for one more mission with Butcher, so we can at least put Butcher with Terror for one big episode.
That's kind of cool.
It looks like there will also be a slight appearance from the character Jack from Jupiter. Just not what you think.
Okay.
It says, we're aiming to have some sort of cameo from him in a Jack from Jupiter porno in season two.
Makes sense.
Does it?
Yeah.
I don't know who he is, but... This I'm interested in. Season two of The Boys will also introduce the hero Stormfront, which will be a gender-swapped version of the character from the comics played on the show by You're the Worst star Aya Cash, Gretchen.
Okay.
The character is teased as a mashup of Thor and Shazam, but Kripke wasn't ready to share any details about her role in the series yet.
Okay.
So, that's kind of cool.
That is.
I love Aya Cash, so. Oh, I will say this. I won't go into huge detail, but I did watch a lot more episodes of that show, Easy. I'm almost done with season three, and when I am, I'd like to have a deeper discussion about this.
Okay.
Have you watched all three seasons?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll save that for maybe next week, because I should be done by then. I think I've only got like 3 or 4 episodes left in the season.
But you did see what I meant by the returning
yes.
characters.
Oh, yes. And that's why I want to get into a deep dive on this.
Okay.
But we'll save that, because I really have a lot of thoughts on this show.
Okay. I'll have to probably rewatch something to try and refresh my memory. It's been a while.
Yeah. The actress who's leaving The Rookie.
Yes.
She actually came out recently and talked exactly why she's
Yeah, like sexual harassment and...
Apparently, somebody in the hair and makeup trailer, the head of it,
yeah.
was racist, sexist, a complete asshole, and she complained several times and was told, oh yeah, we'll take care of it, we'll take care of it. And then at the Christmas party, he actually like assaulted someone and they finally fired him.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's what it took. You know, he had to actually do something.
And she also had issues with a reoccurring guest star sexually harassing her.
Yes.
She again went to them about it. They didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, they wrote an additional scene where she had to act with this person.
Yes. And I was trying to think about who that would be because they said that it was a recurring character.
All I could think of was it was Nolan's roommate.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Whatever, but I don't remember them having a scene together.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad that she...
The only other male recurring character I could think of was one of the twins there. You know what I'm talking about. He was the lawyer.
Oh, yeah. Ashmore.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe.
That's the only one I can think of. But again, I'm speculating.
Right.
Could be a female.
They wouldn't say, but it might come out. But that's the real reason she's leaving. So, I mean, I'm glad she was able to say it. Sounds like that guy in hair and wardrobe was a real dick and... ABC is going to be under fire now since they didn't do anything about it. And she's become very public about it. It's too bad. I really liked her character, but...
I really enjoyed her character, but I had a feeling we weren't going to see much of her this season, or she was going to be like the new captain or something of that nature.
So, I mean, I totally get where she's coming from. I'll miss the character, but, you know, good on the actress. Happy news.
Yeah.
Netflix finally canceled the OA.
Okay.
Yeah. I still have a holdout friend who was like, I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I'm like, all right.
Well, I don't know who your friend is, but they're dumb.
Yeah.
Don't have taste.
But they finally canceled it, and people are upset.
I doubt that.
I doubt that as well. And if they are, then they have no taste. You'll like this. Season premiere of The Goldbergs this year. You know what they're doing?
Wrestling?
Nope. Not what. They're going to Disneyland in California. Griswold style.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now,
they're doing a National Lampoon's tribute and taking a trip out to Disneyland.
Love it. That's going to be great.
Andy Serkis is directing the Venom movie, Venom 2.
Okay.
I think that's cool. I like him. He just directed the Jungle Book for Netflix.
Yeah. Okay.
Andy's a good guy, great motion capture actor. Yep. Really interesting accent take with Ulysses Klaue, but this one kind of came out of nowhere. I filed this in the, have we gone back in time? Amazon announced that it's making another new series for its streaming network based on Event Horizon.
Okay, that was a great movie.
That was a great
movie. I mean, that was a that's a great movie today. I still enjoy watching that.
Yeah. Jack knows where these eyes explode. I'm thinking of Family Guy. But, A, I don't know how they're going to do that as a TV series. Unless they're going to be doing it like Another Lifestyle. You know, where they do 10 episodes of everything that could possibly go wrong on the ship. That was a hardcore horror movie, though.
Well, at times it was, but it was a slow build one.
It was. It was psychological, but, dude, the death and stuff, and the fact that they alluded to the fact that this was hell, and, you know, parts of the ship appearing to be on fire, and people's skin melting off, and I don't know. I love
I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what they do.
Yeah. Now, I want you to take this with a grain of salt, but I had to bring it up. Normally, when it's just like a rumor or something like that, or if they say, oh, then I kind of try to poo-poo it and push it off to the side. But I couldn't do that in this case because I think that this rumor deserves to be embraced and loved.
Okay.
So, ABC President Carrie Burke was recently at a Television Critics Association summer press tour. She was quoted as saying this about this show. I will never say never. I'm hearing whispers. That is a dream of a lot of people at ABC. I'm hearing that there's a remote possibility of something. It's at the very beginning stages. She was talking about the possibility of a return for Happy Endings.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And she said, I'm hearing whispers. It's a dream of a lot of people at ABC. I'm hearing there's a remote possibility of something.
Well,
it's at
the very beginning stage. Well, why would they cancel stages. It if this is a dream of people?
I think it's kind of like the whole Firefly thing. You know, probably one bad person said, oh, let's cancel this show. It was canceled in 2013.
I was looking at 6 years ago.
Yep.
Over 6 years ago. They can get the original cast back. That'd be fucking great.
Dude, that show was so good.
That was a good show. And granted, I didn't watch it in its original run. I watched it after the fact.
So you got the right order.
Oh, yeah. So I watched it in the correct order. It was fantastic.
It was so fantastic.
I still enjoy those characters.
I know. I would love it if they could bring it back. I would love it if they brought those characters back.
Yeah.
And gave us another season or two of hijinks and fun, because that show's smart enough that they would write it in like that. They'd be like, what have you been doing for the past 6 years? God, has it been that? You know, they would completely run with that, and it would be phenomenal. That's all I got.
Well, good timing on closing my laptop then, because that's all I had.
Yeah. Next week, hopefully we'll do a deep dive into Easy, because I got some thoughts.
Okay. And we have, and based on our recording schedule, we have a lot of time between now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the 6th, we're not recording again to the 15th.
Yep.
But this episode will come out the 9th or 10th, and then that episode will come out, or the, sorry, the 11th or 12th.
Yep.
And then that episode will come out the 16th, 7th, or the 18th, 19th, something in that time frame. So, yeah, we got...
we'll still get stuff coming to you.
We got 9 days, basically.
Dude, we're in August already.
I know, it's crazy.
September's going to be right around the corner.
We haven't done a fall preview yet either.
No, we haven't. Oh, fall preview. I know number one on my list.
Yeah.
September 24th, State Theater, Mystery Science Theater 3000. That's happening.
Yeah, I saw that. I tagged you in that.
Yep.
I may have a dilemma being able to go. I'm going to be waking up in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada that morning.
Oh.
Driving home from Canada that day.
Yeah, that may be difficult, but...
I mean, it's a 7-hour drive. If we leave at, like, 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, I mean, I'll be back home by, like, you know, 4 or 5,
If you could drive straight through. But when do the doors open, you know?
At State Theater.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I might have you buy me a ticket. I might not.
Okay.
We'll have to see what happens.
Yep.
But at the very least, I was like, dude!
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude.
Then I saw the date, and I was like, oh, that's sad.
I was like, it's the day before my birthday. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, I know, yeah. That'd be an awesome thing to go out for your birthday for. That's for sure.
Hell yeah.
So we'll play it by ear. We got a month and a half.
We still got to do a fall preview.
Yeah.
And do some reviewing of some other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, they call it a fall preview, but it doesn't start until this fall TV doesn't start until October anymore. Well, that is fall, actually.
Yeah.
I mean.
Dicks.
Yeah.
Who are you to say when seasons start?
I mean, September is summer still, technically.
Kind of, yeah.
I really think the seasons are off. I think they need to rotate the calendar.
You think so?
Yeah. Like, instead of summer being from, I guess September, July.
If you do the solid 3 months at a time,
yeah.
then summer would be June, July, August.
Right.
September, October, November yes. for fall.
Yes.
December, January, February for winter.
Yes.
And then March, April, May for spring.
Yes. That's what I think it should be, yeah.
Yeah.
Just the solid months. Not this, it's the night of the solstice.
I understand the solstice, you know, longest night of the year, shortest night of the year.
Yeah.
Been cool.
I said that to someone a while back. Last year, I said, oh, it's the shortest day of the year.
I like
what?
How
there's less than 24 hours in the day? no, there's just less sunlight. It was Jenna.
Oh.
There's just less sunlight in the day.
That's tragic.
I know. That's the same thing all these new 21-year-olds they keep hiring. None of them know how to use a pager.
God.
I love making them. I love watching them react the first
time.
It's
probably good that I'm not there, because if you and I were there, we would probably give Jenna a complex.
Hey, you know what?
We'd probably run her right into the
ground. Pretty soon, hopefully, I'm not going to be there.
I know. I'm really looking forward to that.
Crossing my fingers.
Yeah. We could actually,
That interview went well today. By the time we record again, very well, I'll put my notice in.
That's going to be a really happy time.
The amount of celebrating that will be done.
Mm. I was going to say, we have to go out and do something. Because that's, Then you might actually care about getting one of those Regal passes.
Yeah, well, legitimately, yeah. Oh, I wanted to bring that up that you mentioned that. I went to the theaters last week when I went and saw
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes. I didn't talk about that last. Yeah, I did.
Yes, you did.
So anyways, on the door, they have the advertisements for the Regal passes, and it says, at this theater, starting at $21 a month.
Yeah.
So it's the middle tier at
and,
the
and
Regal.
And Brunswick is the same.
Are they switching to the recliner seats in Brunswick?
I have no idea.
Well, we went to Doctor Who. They weren't.
Right. But Brunswick is the same price point. It's $21.
Oh, it is.
Yep.
So it's the middle tier Brunswick as well.
Because you can look at it by state on the app. And for Maine, there's two theaters, apparently. Augusta and Brunswick.
Yeah.
And also, but you can pay the upcharge for, like, Fathom events and stuff. Anyway, that's a problem for future Mike and John.
That is a problem for future Mike and John to worry about. But to get my hopes up to have Monday through Friday life, home every night, weekends and holidays off. And if this works out correctly, like by the time I put my notice
in. The next leap will be the leap home?
Yeah. When I put my notice in and everything, like literally like the last day of August will be my last day type of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then starting September 1st, because either that, they got to pay me overtime week. So if I work September 1st, then that's overtime because that's a Sunday. And then if I work Monday the 1st, that's overtime because it's a holiday, Monday the 2nd.
Yeah.
And then,
you're going to have holidays off.
Yeah, I'll have holidays off.
Yeah.
Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Oh, 2 days of Thanksgiving.
I know.
Thanksgiving and the day.
And then Christmas, like usually, what, 5 days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just had 4 from the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
It's going to be different.
You're going to love it. You're going to love
it. I hope so. I really do, because it'll just make having a life fucking tremendous.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
That's it. I'm on the Twitter at SubscribeMail.
I'm the Quantum Geek, 233K.
That's the show.
See you next week.
It's only an hour.